beautiful people, it is Kwani here. I've been gone for a minute. Now I'm back with the jump off. I've been out here. I know it's been a minute, y'all, and I'm sorry. I've been doing a million and one things. I've been trying to manage my mental health while having a hot girl summer, or trying to at least. I've been in the middle of a transition that I can't wait to share with y'all, but not today. That's a whole nother episode for a whole nother time. Anywho, I'm so happy to be behind this mic and in your ear. Today is Wednesday, August 25th, and it is back to school time. The summer went by so quick, y'all. Oh, it's still hot as hell, but you know, it just went by so quick. So it's August. Before you know it, it's about to be Labor Day. And that means it's back to school time. So today's episode is going to be about these babies getting their education. And it's very pivotal for me because my daughter is actually getting ready to go to school. And I'm going to be a nervous wreck. I don't even want to think about it. But anywho, this is an interesting year, to say the least. And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about all the good stuff, all the bad stuff, and everything else in between. And of course, you know, I can't talk about it alone because it's less fun that way. So I have my friend, Shanice. Hey, girl.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. Can't complain, you know. I mean, I can, but what's the point?
No point in complaining.
Right. Absolutely. And so, Shanice, I just noticed something. So I was going through social media today, and it's funny because it was exactly a year ago that you were also like the first guest last season. That's so crazy.
I'm so honored.
Look at you being honorary out here in these streets. Yes. So, Shanice, we about to talk about this school year because I need help, the people need help, and we just need help, as you can see.
This school year is very interesting, and I will be happy to talk about this school year as I actually have made a transition out of this school system, elementary school system. I'm back to my first love, which is early childhood. So, you know, big things on the horizon.
Yes, we definitely gonna get into that because, yeah, you're not even in the same position anymore. What a difference a year makes.
Absolutely.
But before we get into all of that, we're gonna have a hot topic. And of course, the hot topic is going to be geared towards, obviously, education. So the first hot topic I definitely wanna talk about is kind of geared towards what we're gonna be discussing today. And one of them is called learning loss. And so it all started with the No Child Left Behind Act, which was launched back in 2001. This was back when Bush was president, y'all.
That's correct.
So back in 2001, to try to close the learning gap, building on the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, which was voted nearly 40 years before that, back in 1965. So now, fast forward 50-something years later, in 2021, educators are faced with the historical challenges of ensuring that educational equity while also tackling the gaps in learning that resulted from last year's unpredictable switch to remote learning. Unfortunately, COVID has only deepened that gap for many students. School districts around the country have reported a higher level of failing grades, and a report from McKinsey and Company estimating that students were 3 months or more behind in math when they started the school year. Because of the number of students it impacts, it has recently been accelerated. More people are weighing in on the problem and trying to find a solution. So in layman's terms, what does that mean, Shanice?
Layman's terms, it means that children are progressing in the next grade when they're not academically or developmentally ready. And in honor of the No Child Left Behind Act, they shouldn't be left behind And there's a different, like a number of avenues that we can go into this topic, right? One being that, this is me going back into early childhood, parents are their child's first teacher. So, and I know some people are not gonna like this, but you did a disservice to your children if you did not continue their educational learning at home, if you didn't put in the work to get your child to be ready for the next grade. Shame on you, right? Shame on you, because
just come for the jugular. Go ahead.
I'm just gonna be raw right now, because please. I seen a lot of social media posts like, we're not getting paid to teach our kids, this is not my job, all sorts of posts, maybe for clout, maybe real feelings and opinions, but you are your child's first teacher. Before they go into any school or any program, they're home with you normally, right? You're on maternity leave. That's what maternity leave is for, to, you know, bond with your child, teach them a few things. Speaking from experience, I didn't go to school until kindergarten. My mom taught me at home.
You didn't go to pre-K?
I did not go to pre-K, no. My mom decided that I was her last child. She was going to keep me home. And honestly, I remember it like it was yesterday. My mom got told I was top of my kindergarten class. So she did something right, being my first teacher. So if your child is, or, you know, because some schools have started, did stay back or was facing retention, what could you as a parent have done at home during the remote learning to help your children or your child, right? So back to your original question, no child left behind. A lot of these kids are progressing to the next grade, and they really shouldn't be, because they're doing a disservice by pushing them along when they're not ready.
Wow. No, and that's definitely very true. And you know, we've seen it up close and personal.
Absolutely.
Ain't no shade, or maybe just a little bit, but we've seen it up close and personal. And because, you know, I'm a parent too. And and I think I said this in the last episode that you and I done, Shanice, like, you know, school has changed. You know, I'm not a math wizard. Like, and me and numbers have a weird relationship. Like, if I can't, you know, count it like I count money, it's impossible. But like, it's, there have been, I believe that, you know, the school system, or at least with this pandemic, they have created, or at least done the best that they could to be as innovative for students to be able to be successful. Don't you agree?
I absolutely agree. Before I actually left the school we were working at, I went out my way to learn all sorts of different platforms and technology so that I could help my students. But the most heartbreaking thing is there was no one at home helping them, like, get on, navigating. This was new for them. This was new for us. And so that's what actually broke my heart the most, is that I was going out my way and students weren't showing up, and I don't fault them. I taught fifth grade. They're still learning. The world is big for them, and they're navigating their emotions and feelings. But when I talk to certain kids and they're like, well, my parents at work, I'm going to play on my video game, or I don't have to sign in, right? Or I don't have internet. Like, those were the things that were put in place during this pandemic. Resources and internet services were giving out free internet for a certain
period. They were giving out free internet, like, or they were doing it to, like, for the low, like, just it, they made it accessible.
It's right. Just,
like, and I was on the engagement team at our old job, right? Mm-hmm. And so my job was to call parents to let their kid, to let them know that the kid wasn't, like, the kid wasn't logged in.
Right.
And it's either they came up with a crazy excuse as to why they weren't logged in, or they were just like, I didn't know. Like,
right.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Ma'am, and you didn't know your child had.
Exactly. there is school still happening. It's just remotely. So that was a huge transition for families. And I feel like we go to YouTube for everything, right? Why not go to YouTube for logging into a computer, right?
I graduated from YouTube University, magna cum laude.
I'm not that tech savvy. I mean, I know my thing, but hello, YouTube.
Google College.
Not to mention myself, along with the fifth grade team and sixth grade team at the time, we knew how to reach students and families. So we did our own YouTube videos and we posted them and we emailed them and we text messaged them so that parents can see how to get on, how to keep up with their child's work. We went out our way to put these plans in place. And, you know, there was, like you said, so many excuses. So again, I go back to what I first said. If you did not help your child developmentally and academically at home, you did a disservice. And you can't leave it up to just the school system, especially when the school system and teachers went out their way to help the child, to, you know, further their education, and, you know, in this tumultuous times. I mean, come on. Come on.
At this point, like the way has been made. Right. You know, now you just have to meet us halfway.
That's right.
I mean, because it's easy to blame the teacher and say she's not doing her job. Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing about it is that, like, it's even so much so where they have there's technology and apps where if students are not doing what they're supposed to do, they're like, okay, they're logged into Zoom, right? Mm-hmm. And they see that the kid is trying to get on YouTube. It's so much so where the teacher can block YouTube, and there's like all they got to do is hit a button and be like, oh, mm-mm.
Yeah, yeah. And then, and like, I love those. Yeah.
And I even think about the stipulations, like the state rules, whatever you want to call it. And they said that you're marked absent or you're marked present if you just show up. So mm-hmm. if you just log in, and you don't even got to be logged in the whole time. Like, a typical school day is what, 8 to 3? So yep. Like, if you're just logged in for like 4 of those hours or 2 or 3.5 of those hours, you're considered marked present for the day.
Mm-hmm. So I even went as far as saying you could leave your camera off. I don't know what your home situation is. I don't need to see your background. As long as you're engaging, you could be off camera.
But is that really engaging if they're off camera?
Yes, technically it is, because say if I was off camera and I'm still talking to you, right? You hear my voice, you know I'm engaged, you know I'm answering your questions. All I ask is that you be present in my class.
Because but how many students are even actually doing that much?
They weren't. It was the bare minimum. This is what I'm trying to get to. Like, we went our way to push for kids to come any way they knew how to show up. And it still just did not happen.
Lord. Ooh. So let me ask you this now, because another it's kind of like segueing into the next hot topic. So of course they talk about remote learning. Of course, you know, the school year 2020 into 2021 has been a year of hybrid and full remote learning. So where we worked at, they had the choice between either being hybrid, where they only came into school for a couple of days, and then the remaining days were virtual, or you had some students who were just completely virtual, and then you had then some students who came to school every day. Now they're talking about still maintaining this virtual learning, even though they're coming into school like, you know, full throttle. So coming 5 days a week, full time. Of course, they're going to follow the CDC guidelines, but now, like, we're not having snow days anymore. So kids won't experience snow days. It's not going to be a snow day anymore. We're going to have virtual learning day.
That annoys me. Like, it makes me
in the world
so upset. That makes me so upset. Like, all right, here is where balance takes place, right? What kid does not look forward to a snow day?
Right.
In the New England area, let's be real here.
Because it snows a lot here.
Right. Like, what kid does not look forward to those two built-in snow days per calendar year?
Boom. Because you at least have two, at least.
It's two built-in, and anything after that, it extends your school year, which I get. Being a teacher, being a student, I always hated going into like mid-June when everyone else that I knew was out in May. But that is so unfortunate. And I get it, right? Let's keep the two built-in snow days and give it to the kids as you see fit. Maybe like, let's just say it snows in October, right? Maybe you don't want to give the snow day in October and you want to do virtual because everyone is just getting back, just getting their footing, whatever the case may be. But by the time February roll in, and we know it snows until March, mm-hmm. sometimes past March here.
April.
Come on, give the kids their snow day. I'm not saying, you know, go past the two built-in days and extend the school year because nobody wants that. By June, whatever, teachers are like, all right, enough. Like, we want our summer vacation too. But at least give the two built-in snow days. Come on now. Don't do that to children.
Don't do that to them. Like, because before COVID, like, if there was a snow day, that was a day off from school. Exactly. That was a day off for everybody. Like,
right.
So why take that away from them? I don't understand.
It's just like technology taking away kids playing outside. Let's not be the cause of that. Like, let's let the kids go outside and enjoy a snow day. Because I know I did. Snow angels all morning.
You ain't finna catch me outside now. But back then, I liked the snow, you know.
Right, like, let them be kids, because when you get our age, it's like, snow, what is that, right? Like, let exactly. them enjoy it now.
Exactly. So, fast forward to this school year, child, it's about to be some dinger of a doozy. First of all, it's not even about not just school, but with this whole COVID thing, like, the numbers are rising again, and now we got this whole thing called Delta variant, and now they're predicting another possible shutdown, and they're talking about vaccination, like, they're making getting vaccinated a mandatory thing, and they're like implementing this in schools. So all these middle schoolers and high schoolers need to be vaccinated.
Right, right.
And I won't be surprised, honestly, if they come up with a vaccination for children under the age of 12.
Well, I'm gonna leave that conversation off of this podcast for today because I have my views on the vaccination, children being vaccinated. I will say the fact that they're mandating teachers and staff to get it is not okay. The whole, it should be a choice, right? I can't get vaccinated for health reasons, but I'm also not integrated in the school system, so it doesn't affect me. But I do know other people that cannot for other health reasons, and they are teachers still in the school system. Thankfully, I'm fortunate to have gotten out and gotten into administration within early childhood. So I'm still working from home for now. And I foresee working from home for the rest of this year, as long as this Delta variant is alive and well, right?
Right.
But for the people that are in the school system, such as yourself and other, you know, teacher friends that I have, I would love to know how they feel about it, because it's just a different form of bullying, being told that you have to get this in order to stay safe. I get it. But I also know a lot of people who got the vaccine and still got COVID. Some even passed away. So we're not going to get into the technicality of the vaccine. I will just say that I don't think it's fair to be subjecting teachers to getting it if they're not comfortable, or if they can't get it, like, what's next? Are they going to lose their job? We're already in a teacher deficit. So,
right.
Yeah. But yeah. I'm going to leave that to you. I'm going to leave that on the table.
You said you're going to leave it on. Listen, I mean, I'm vaccinated. I've been fully vaccinated since May, I want to say. Do I agree with this whole mandatory thing? Absolutely not. It is a form of bullying, you know, just like every other like form of medication, every form of healthcare. Like, we have the right to choose how we want to take care of ourselves.
Correct.
You know, the same way we choose our diets, the same way we choose our primary care physicians, we have the right to choose what we put in our veins.
I agree.
I just sound like I was talking about drugs, but technically
it is a drug. You're right.
Is a chemical going in your system.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's highway robbery. And it's so funny because it's like some of these people who work for the FDA, some of these people who work for, you know, help like the healthcare administration, who work with HIPAA and, you know, all these other governmental healthcare associations, I guarantee you, and this is just based off of my own discernment, this is not fact, so don't quote me, but I guarantee you that a lot of them are not vaccinated, and that is a choice that they have made.
Of course, they're on the front line of this vaccine. They know what's in it. They know, you know, what it takes to get it and for your body to either be, you know, not in any condition to receive it or be in the condition and have a reaction to it. So, you know, it is not factual, as you said, but I can agree with you that they're probably not all vaccinated and they're probably not risking their job either one way or another.
Right.
And I will say, I'm not one of those crazy people who think that they're injecting devices into us. Like, I don't think any of that.
I don't think any of it either.
I just think that it's, like you said, great point. It should be a choice because it's self-care. Like, if my job's at a risk and I have to end up getting the vaccine, and I know I had reactions to other vaccines in the past, and that I have a compromised immune system, what is that saying? Like, I'm going to risk my life to get this vaccine because it's being bullied and my job is being threatened if that was the case. So that's where I have the issues and that's where my problems lie, is just that right there.
God almighty. So that's my opinion. They can go to hell with all this vaccination mandatory stuff.
Well,
I need, I need to be careful of what I say because I don't want the FDA come looking for me.
Yeah, you do.
No, but still, like, we shouldn't be robbed of that choice.
So. Right. I agree.
Yeah. And speaking of teacher, like, you know, there is a teaching deficit. You said that. And you are a part of that teaching deficit. You took your behind out that classroom.
I did. Unfortunately, I did. And it had nothing to do with the kids that I taught or the families that I served. I enjoy my job and often miss it. Think about going back in some like way or another or trying to do both. But I got out from my mental health. I got out because during the time we were teaching remotely, it was stressful. And it wasn't stressful for other people. It was just where I was stressful. And I also felt like I was doing a disservice to families because we weren't reaching them. And I like took a lot of that on personally when I really shouldn't have. Now that I can see clear and I could talk about it, I held a lot of responsibility that my students weren't learning. And it broke me. As a teacher, you don't want to think that you're the reason your students aren't learning. or that you're doing a disservice to them, but you're trying your hardest. So it was like, I was like in my own head and it was just stressful. And then I'm fortunate, like I said, to be out of the classroom where no one's making me or making it mandatory to get the vaccine or to do this or to do that. And I'm just glad to be out. But I do miss it. And I do miss my students. And I do miss like teaching, because I do believe in shaping minds of children. So I'm doing it in a different light, being in the role I am in now. But I do miss the,
Explain the role that you're in.
So right now I am a senior manager at a nonprofit agency in New Haven, and we service family childcare. So what that means is that there, well, I serve 12 educators, and they're all women of color, who decided to have programs within their homes. Some of them actually have a second home where their program is and not like in their house. But nonetheless, most of them are in the homes of these women. And it's a program. It's not a daycare. They're not babysitters. These ladies have their bachelor's, master's. A couple of them have PhDs. And they decided, that they want to do the same and shape minds of younger children. So we serve children 0 to 3 years old, and each educator have their own program in the home. And I'm the administrator, so I do all sorts of things, from getting them paid to ordering them supplies so that their programs run, if not the same, better than center programs. And I do a whole plethora of things, but what I will say is my favorite is making sure that their programs stay up to date on regulations and standards, so that they are providing the high quality we talk about, and it doesn't feel like babysitting. We do assessments just like elementary school. We do screenings. We have a full-time nurse. So everything you could think of in like a kinder care or one of the big popular... Right, Montessori or LULAC or any of the big names that you hear, we do that at All Our Kin. But it's just family childcare, and it looks a lot different. And honestly, before coming to this organization, I didn't know much about family childcare. I assumed that it was just that, right? You're in someone's house and they're babysitting you. But I have been schooled and I've been in each program. And let me tell you that these programs are like immaculate. Like, you can't believe what someone's basement could turn into, or their house or their second home for their program. So definitely put the plug in. We have some openings as well. And yes. You know, if you need, and it's free to low cost. So if you qualify and you already get subsidies, that means you automatically qualify. We have Hamden, New Haven, and West Haven locations. So all you got to do is, you know, email me and we can get your child in one of our programs.
Yes. And Shanice is amazing. She is very detail oriented. She is resourceful. Like, thank you. He is definitely a great asset to early childhood and to just small businesses in general, because like it, like nonetheless, it is a business and it needs to be ran like a business. You still need profit. You still need, you know, you need supply and demand. The more kids you have, the more money your program, you know, requires, and the more money, you know, you need. Mm-hmm. And of course, Shanice is going to be there to give you all the resources that you need. Child, I'm not in the business of opening nobody's daycare. Because, you know, if it was up to me, they'll be having steak and potatoes for lunch. They'll be having a seafood boil. You know, they'll be falling asleep to they'll be falling asleep to some soaking music and probably be asleep for 3 hours.
Yeah. And I'm actually happy you said that, because although you're not in the business of opening it, we do offer at All Our Kin, we offer a business program for interested candidates. So if anybody is out there and they would like to have a program, we can work with you. We offer a 10-week session where you go through learning how to run your own business, because these women are contracted through us. We don't own them in any sort of way. They're holding their own contracts. It is their own small business. We're just a sub grantee that can provide money and resources.
Resources for them, yeah.
Definitely resources, because we also supply free food when you're in the program for the children, and diapers and wipes. So like you said, it's a business. We're a nonprofit, so we get in money so that we could, you know, give money to each program. So definitely, if you're looking to start your own, hit me up as well and we can talk.
That is amazing. And I know at least a couple of people who want to open up their own daycare too. So I definitely will put the bug in their ear.
Okay.
And so you're in early. That's one of the first. So let me ask you this question. You started out in early childhood, correct? Before you went on to elementary.
I sure did.
So especially with like my daughter, she's technically in pre-K. Yeah. So that's early childhood. That's the beginning phases of like her development. What do you think are some key pivotal, you know, tools for children who are 2, 3, 4 years old that they need to have before going to kindergarten? Now, like, cause you know, pre-K is not a necessity. Like by law, it's not. Mm-hmm. You can encourage it, absolutely. So what are some of the things that these babies need?
They need two things. They need repetition and they need consistency. That is exactly what they need. Like you just said, it's recommended, it's not required. You don't have to go to school until kindergarten, such as myself. But if you are going to keep your child away from pre-K, make sure you're spending time with them. Make sure they have play groups that they can attend so that they get that socializing piece, which is super important to children. And why I say consistency is because if you're consistent with a routine daily, it will be an easy transition to kindergarten or pre-K for that matter. And some people don't realize that early childhood is actually 0 to 2nd grade. Connecticut got rid of that certification.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, that is the early years. And I do early childhood, which is 0 to 3, but you know, like that's a different realm of it, but
so
it
you
is
do birth to three.
I do birth to three. Okay. But I've done infants, toddlers, and twos as well. Mm-hmm. But it does go to 2nd grade. And I think just, you know, like I said, being consistent and repetition. They learn by repeating actions and words and sounds. So that's really what you need to give your kid in time and nurturing and love.
Yes. We be loving on the children.
That's right.
The thing that I notice and that I am not prepared for tomorrow. Ooh. Yaya, I want to say Yaya has definitely had like a good like social component when it comes to school. She's, you know, for the most part, I know that she'll transition into her new school and her program smoothly. But I know that may not be the case for every child, you know, at 3 and 4 years old who's entering into daycare or into pre-K or kindergarten. And, you know, they go through all of these emotions. And so what is some advice that you give to, you know, parents when they're making that radical transition into a building?
That is the most scariest time for more of the parent, less of the kid. I've seen it. I actually have a friend who's going back into teaching and she just had a baby. So she's more nervous, and lucky for her, she actually has a family member that's actually gonna watch her child before the child go into any daycare or any of that. But I think just trusting the adult you're leaving your child with, getting to know them so that you can trust them, is key. Because if a child see that mom or dad is trusting this person, talking to this person in the morning, not just being like, all right, babe, go in, drop them off, like have a conversation with the teacher in front of your child. Go to the school if you can and volunteer. Just a nice, easy, smooth transition is a key component to dropping your child off at, in a new place, in a new building, whatever the case may be. So just that, remember when you're walking in, and just prep your child as well. I know you're nervous. Like, you guys made a new transition and Yaya is going to a new school. You don't know any of these people. So get to know them and let her know that you know them so that she can see, all right, well, if my mom trusts this person, then I can trust this person.
Yeah, I must be in good hands. Yeah, mm-hmm. And I just, and it's interesting because her teacher, like, sent a whole email, sent a picture of himself, like, all of this, like, about me sort of thing, and it was really nice, and I'm like, wow, like, you know, teachers are actually, in, you know, it's important to be invested. Because, mm-hmm. you know, and she herself even gave tips and tools when it's time to make that transition, because she knows how hard it is. And
that's a great teacher.
Tips and tools, because I don't know.
You will be fine. Just breathe and trust that your daughter is going to be in good hands. Seemingly the teacher knows what she's doing if she's sending tips and tools home already. And then about me, that's amazing that you get to know a little bit about her, mm-hmm. Before you put your kid and leave them in that classroom. So that's great.
Yeah. So Shanice, you think they could be out of school before September?
I hope not.
After all this money I done spent on uniforms and school supplies, and I'm pretty sure I'm not the only parent that thinks that, because I saw many a post on social media, if we don't have another shutdown, let me know before I spend all this money.
Because it's real. It really is. Like, we know uniforms is not cheap. I had to wear a uniform all my life. I remember going... Actually, we went to New York because we found out it was cheaper back then to get my uniforms from somewhere else other than the place that the schools tell you to get them from.
Or you gotta order. You have to order them from the school because they have to have the school name and logo and all that.
See, that's new. Back when I was in magnet school, that wasn't a thing as long as it was the colors. So yes, I understand. And I know how expensive it is from working in a charter school and ordering like a sweatshirt myself. Like, it's ridiculous. So I don't fault people for saying if it's going to be another shutdown, let me know. But unfortunately.
Listen, let me know.
I hope it's not for the sake of the children, because talking to some friends, the retention list was long this year. And most of the kids are not even being retained because parents are like, oh no. And it's just doing a disservice to the children. So I really hope this Delta variant does not come through like the first variant and destroy everything. Kids need to be in school. They need to learn, especially if they're not going to be able to get the tools and resources they need while being home behind a computer.
Yeah, and it's just like, first of all, let's talk about what sitting behind a screen does to your eyes.
Your eyes, your body. I didn't realize the effect it had on me.
Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm. They're going to be blind.
Well, no,
they're not going to be blind, but their vision is affected because they're sitting behind a screen.
Well, you know, there is a blue blocking glasses that you can get your child that many people probably don't know about that either. But again, my niece is in, what, fifth grade? She didn't wear hers, and she should have, because I'm like, you know, you got to wear these. I know for me, the minute I started working behind this computer all day, my head started hurting. And I'm like, I got to figure out something. Was told by the doctor to get the blue blocking glasses. Got them. It's been a game changer. But kids, they don't know that. They don't know the effects that the screen is really having on them, your posture, your back, everything. Yeah. So that's a whole nother issue happening.
And then, like, some of these kids, they laying in bed holding up the computer, and mm-hmm. I'm like, get up. Mm-hmm. I remember I had to teach online, and I promise it was such a drag. It was just, and it kind of ties into the mental health aspect that you briefly discussed earlier, because it really makes your job very hard. Like, mm-hmm. being out of school for all these months, then coming back. So, like, even while working where we work, so, of course, COVID hit March of 2020, you know, we were out from March to June, you mm-hmm. know, everything was online. Come, you know, we have our summer comeback from September to, I want to say, October. We were hybrid. So we come in someday, you know, Monday through Thursday, and then Friday we're completely virtual. Mm-hmm. You know, I like having Fridays off so I could get jiggy with it. And the numbers started skyrocketing. And then we go from being hybrid to all virtual from October to January. Mm-hmm. Then numbers are still skyrocketing in February to where teachers are now, and even the principal at the time had COVID. And mm-hmm. everybody and their mama had to get tested because everybody was around everyone.
Yeah.
And like, I remember I was mandated to stay home and quarantine because I was in close contact with somebody who was diagnosed with COVID.
Right.
And we had to take like a couple of days off from that. Then in April, they want to bring the whole troops back in. So they're like 100% now. Uh-huh. So classrooms are 20 people or more.
Yeah, it's scary right now. It really is.
And so that was a lot of transitioning. It was so much. It was to the point where like teachers didn't even want to do their job.
Because they were scared.
Like, it just, I felt unmotivated. I felt limited. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm a dance teacher, but like, and I love what I do, but when I'm not able to fully, like, you know, do things that I want to do to make me execute the way that I'm supposed to, it affects me. Like, I couldn't put on a Black History event.
Yeah. Now, all that you just said and how it affected you as an adult, as a mom, as a teacher, can you imagine what the kids were going through? Right. There was no consistency. Back to the consistency. Everything. Nothing.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Woo.
Yeah. It's real.
And it's like now we have to, you're going back to the drawing board.
Mm-hmm. Back to what we consider normal. Being in school every day, Monday through Friday. Now you just have to stay 6 feet apart, or maybe you don't, who knows? And you have to wear a face mask.
First of all, I'm so sick of these face masks. Got my face breaking out looking like a Nestle Crunch bar. I'm still... Right, got me looking like a whole like Mr. Goodbar out here.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Yeah.
Like, it's bad. It's mm-hmm. so bad. And it's like, we can't even get mad at the kids because like they try to reprimand the kids for not wanting to wear their masks or having them half on. And it's like, can you blame them?
Right. Like, you can't blame them, but you have to give them the tools and the knowledge so that everyone stays safe. It's just catch 22, really. But
it definitely is.
It is. And that's the sad part. That's the part of me that's like, they really should stay home until this thing is all clear. But I don't think it ever will be. Who knows? But then it's like,
when will it be done? Like, when will we like go back to normal? When can we not have to wear masks? When can we travel like we've been doing? And I mean, it's getting back to normal because people are just sick of it and they just want to live life.
Yeah.
But when is it like just completely over and just a thing of the past?
That day will be a happy day. because I find myself like wanting to go hug someone and go, wait, are you hugging? Like, you have to ask permission to hug a friend that you know would normally hug you pre-COVID. But, you know, only time will tell when this will be over.
Hopefully soon.
Mm-hmm.
So we pray that this is a successful school year for children, young and old, all the way from early childhood to college, because even the colleges are going back, and they themselves have been robbed of the college experience. So we just want to wish everybody a successful school year, a successful season, a successful semester, trimester, marking period, however you label it, however your school does it. We want to wish everybody a happy first day of school. If you started already, a happy first week. And just try to make the best of it, even in these uncertain times. You know, we want these children to be successful. And this is just going to be an interesting story.
One day, we'll laugh about this and go, remember that time we were in quarantine and we couldn't go out and do anything and we had to teach behind a computer screen? It will all be just a memory, and that'll be a great day when it's time. But definitely stay safe. Do your best in school, because, you know, it's only up from here. If you were on the retention list and you didn't stay back, parents, work hard at home, get your kids outside tutors, do whatever it takes to get your baby back on track. Kids, don't let these retention labels get a hold to you and mess you up. You are fine. You just had some challenges. You ran into some difficulty during the remote learning. But regardless of anything, work hard, do your best. You got this school year, semester, marking period, quarter, whatever you call it. And just stay safe.
Yes, please, please stay safe. That's all we got. Ain't got no more. Thank you so much, Shanice, for joining me and sharing your, giving your 30 cents on this pandemic.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right, y'all. Y'all know where to find me. Please listen on all major listening platforms. And I'll be back at it again with a new episode next Wednesday. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Somebody's Mama. That is SOME_BODYS, Mama. Until then, love and light. Peace. Audio Jungle.